Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformations. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, my friends, to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx speaker, performance enhancement expert, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 46 countries, such as the U.S., Canada, Panama, Australia, Belgium, Germany. So I want to thank you to those who are currently listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that changed our lives and how we use these to help transform others and elevate their lives as well. Now, you can listen to us every Wednesday and on the first and third Fridays at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time live. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, I hold special pop-up episodes, so don't miss those. Join our Facebook group community, Life Transformation Radio Community, and you can subscribe wherever you're currently listening. You can subscribe to the show and never miss an episode. The show is on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, and the Google Play Music app. Don't miss an episode. Because on this show are impactful and amazing guests that are impacting everyone around them. And my two guests today does exactly that. I want you to welcome to the show Sam and Patrick Cullinane. What's up, my friends?
Hey, thanks for having us on, Sean.
How's it going, buddy?
What's up, man? So it's been a little bit since, I was really upset that I couldn't go to New Media Summit this year. But, we get to see each other at the One Life events. We get to see each other at, the different events that, like the New Media Summit and different events that we go to. So super cool seeing you guys there. And, looking forward to if you guys are going to be in June. In Philadelphia, looking to see you guys there.
We are not going to be there in June.
I'm imagining you two looking at each other going, well.
That's exactly what just happened. You know it so well.
Right. No, it's great, though. So,
but probably in October, are you going to be coming to Sacramento?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yep.
We'll definitely be in Sacramento. Yeah.
Perfect.
Awesome.
So for the listeners that are listening right now, this show is live if you're listening currently at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 2:30 Pacific. Call in 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. We get raw, we get real, we get authentic. And so if you have a question for Sam, Patrick, or myself, you can call in at that number. The title of the episode is Bigger Love with Sam and Patrick Cullinane. Patrick is a serial entrepreneur who has started and sold multiple businesses and developed several software applications in the logistics and supply chain industries. Patrick serves on the One Life Fully Lived Board, a nonprofit geared towards helping young people find their passion through entrepreneurship and to dream, plan, and live their best life. Sam began her career climbing corporate ladders to achieve the rank of chief of staff to the president of an international $5 billion, would a B, big old B, $5 billion company. Eventually, she also took to the entrepreneurial endeavors, starting a few businesses and then joining Patrick to build and sell his largest business. Sam completely switched gears in 2015 and is now a national iTunes charting songwriter and recording artist who has been invited to open for Jewel and has a song in a film released October 2017. Sam also runs a women's mastermind, Symmetry 7. Sam and Patrick have been married for 20-plus years and would tell you that they're one of the happiest couples they know. But it wasn't always this way. After 10 years of marriage, they were ready to sign the divorce papers. After a year apart, against all odds, they decided to get back together. This time, they came back together with new insights, including recognition of the things each of them brought to the relationship, whether good or bad. Both made the necessary changes to successfully start their next chapter. For the last 10 years, they've grown their love, their bond, and created an amazing life together. They became students of love and never looked back. Their book, Bigger Love, how to have the love of your life for the rest of your life is their story with tips, tools, and tricks for taking your relationship to a higher, deeper, and more satisfying level. You can learn more about Sam and Patrick Cullinane and their book at www.biggerlove.com. So the first question I have to ask you, I think everybody wants to know, like, why get back together? What drew you guys back to each other?
Well, for me, it was easy. I never really wanted to be apart, but she kicked me out.
Yep. Perfect. I think you have a similar story too, Sean, don't you?
Yeah. Oh,
as
yeah.
I remember from your book.
yeah, it was almost like literally. Well, we were, well, so we were married like a year. You guys were married 10 years.
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, I mean, I'm with Pat, man. Like I never wanted to divorce. I never wanted any of that, you know, but I was too immature and I couldn't, I had my own demons to deal with. It was really what it came down to.
And that's exactly what it came down to, really, because I mean, she wanted to do it on her own. She felt like she didn't need me. And I'm like, I left thinking one thing, I'll show her, was mad at her. For at least, or blamed her actually for probably at least the first 4 or 5, 6 months before I started, you know, looking in the mirror and figuring out what I brought to the table that enabled all that to go down. But ultimately, what brought us back together is that, you know, we had two young kids, younger kids, and we're always parenting together. I mean, we're talking all the time, and
we were, we amiable, we still. We're friends, and
sure.
We handled all of the stuff with the kids pretty well. And I think we both realized that, I mean, for me, what happened was when I left him, it turned out that a lot of the same demons, because I think we all have demons, Sean. the same problems were still there. Like, I was still lonely and unhappy. I was still having to take care of the kids and working all the time. And it wasn't any wasn't any different. So I realized, oh, maybe my problems aren't all Pat. Maybe I also have to look in the mirror. So, right.
Yeah, for me, it was almost as simple as it probably took 10 and a half to 11 months for me to realize that, or get to the point where I knew that I could be happy either with or without Sam.
And that was so hot. I found that so sexy. Ooh, he doesn't need me. Oh, that's so great.
Yeah. But prior to that, you know, I mean, when we were together in that first 10 years, I dealt with a lot of different insecurity and immaturity. And I would, if I wasn't happy, you know, do the same thing. I would blame her or feel like, you know, she's not trying very hard to make me happy, which is a huge pitfall and mistake.
So I think what brought us back together was that we still liked each other. And actually, if we'll be 100% honest. So I moved to Spain actually with the kids when we split up. I took a job there working for that same company, fixing a business unit that had run amok. And my company paid to have Patrick flown out every once in a while, every couple months. And so he flew out and I had nanny problems there. I had, you know, it was a relief to have somebody help with the kids. And so I just asked if he would stay in I had an extra room in my apartment. So I just asked, hey, can you just stay here with us and take care of the kids? Because I still have to work 24/7. And he agreed to do that. And then he totally seduced me and I ended up sleeping with them.
Yes. My wife did the same thing.
I mean, the truth is, you know, when you're running, you know, when you have thousands of employees and you're a big, you know, you're at the top, it's lonely. It's, you know, when you're the boss. There's not a lot of camaraderie. And when you're working all the time, there's nobody to hang out with. And I had zero time to date or do anything of those kinds of things. So it was actually really nice.
And most of the people that worked for her didn't think she was very nice.
Yeah, I was difficult to work for. I have very high expectations, not anything different than I have myself, but I definitely would have changed my management style now, but back then I was known as a bitch for sure.
It was all good for me because she didn't exactly, you know, roll out the dating pool red carpet with her management style. So,
well, I wasn't going to tell anybody that worked for me anyway. That's crazy. I could have had sexual harassment.
That's true.
Charges.
Oh boy.
5'2"
So Patrick, Matt, so what was your why for being a serial entrepreneur, man? You sold multiple businesses, built multiple businesses. You've done a lot of different things. What was your why for that?
I just, since I was young, I always kind of wanted to do things my own way, which is, I'm, you know, in my old age, I've learned that's both good and bad, but, I just always wanted to have my own business and just about every corporate, I have a hard time getting around corporate BS. You know, I think things are being done inefficiently and I state my opinion and people are like, well, that's just the way it is. I just can't stand it. So,
AKA he can't have a boss.
Yeah. And if I don't work well with others, will be, well, I do. I work well with my own people, but not
someone
trying. That's one of the worst things to say though, right? That's one of the worst things to say is like, well, it's how it's always been done. That's how we've always done it. Like, oh, I can't stand that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is frustrating.
I worked with, one of the companies I had ownership in was purchased by, I can probably say UPS. And, they were huge in the corporate. I mean, they're so corporate.
Oh, yeah.
I had a lot of incentive that I kind of walked away from in that purchase just because I couldn't deal with it. I couldn't acquiesce.
We try not to look back too much on those kinds of decisions.
Yeah.
Right.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Awesome. So talk about the impact that, because it seems like you were on, you know, the entrepreneurship and you were doing all this stuff, whatever. And she chose the corporate way. Impact of Sam, of you joining forces. Does that have a play on marriage? Cause I know me and my wife, when we did separate things, we were great. We get together and we were like, oh, like who's jockeying for power, right? Who's jockeying for position? Does that even play a role when you guys join forces?
I can answer that probably better than Sam in that I was guilty of having the same male. Now I'm not saying you do, but most of my friends, almost everybody I talk to echoes the same thing. I could never work with my wife. And, and I was that guy. At one point around 2010, I started looking around. I bought out partners that I had in 2009. A year later, I hadn't taken home a paycheck because that's when the economy crapped out. Mm-hmm. And I started looking around the company. I'm like, why aren't we growing? And really all of the reasons that I had written down were strengths that Sam brought to the table. And so I was like, I need to get my ego in check and get her in here because A, she's a free employee, and B, her skill set is exactly what I need right now. So,
right. Very cool.
Don't get me wrong. We definitely butt heads during those, I don't know how many years we were working together, 4 or 5 maybe.
Yeah, I wanted her to come in and do her thing, everybody except me. That's how it worked.
Yep.
She's great at writing like SOPs and processes and the whole deal. And when she came in to document mine, I'm like, no, somebody else.
I'm like, you know what though? Like I have my way of doing things and it's efficient. Like for me, you know, and I'm pretty good about molding things to way that other people get it, you know, and it works for them too, except my wife, because my wife has the mentality the same way I do. Nope. Works for me. I'm not changing. And so we're just like, we can't agree on too many things, but when we do, it's like, we agreed on something. Like, yeah, marriage is great until you try to decide where to eat for dinner. And then there's a 2 testament of strength. That's what I was like, right?
Yep.
So I love this. Against all odds, decided to get back together. So what were some of those new insights that you guys came back to the marriage with? Was it like a seminar that you guys went to? You guys take courses? Like how did you know that you were coming back in a better way than when you left?
It was all internal work and probably luck based on what we know now. But ultimately, my cousin said something to me that rang super true, and I followed his advice. And he said, you know, you've been sitting around whining and complaining about Sam for 4 or 5 months, and what you need to do is look at what you brought to the table that got you there and focus on what you have control over, which is yourself, and get rid of whatever those things are, so that if you get back together or if you go in another relationship, you don't have that same, and he called it shit, that you're dragging around. Okay. And so I did. I looked at it and I'm like, wow, I do have some insecurities I need to get rid of. I've got some of these other things. And I focused on just trying really hard to get rid of those things. And I think that made a big difference in getting myself to the point where I knew I could be happy with or without her. And then for Sam, I never would have got back together with her if she didn't recognize how all consuming that job was and how it took her away from her kids. It took her away from our marriage. And it was, you know, 9 times out of 10, it was priority number one for her.
It was. And I mean, I unabashedly felt like I was the provider for the family. And for me, it was never enough. You know, how much is enough? Well, for me, it was never enough. Not enough money, you know, money wise. I could always make more money. I knew I was climbing the ladder. And so I never hit the, is this enough? But I did realize how lonely I was and how much of my kids, you know, when I mean, I missed a lot of their childhood. I was traveling all the time. And I also recognized that it wasn't that, like, as much as the job gave me so many perks and things that people think that they want, like lots of money and, you know, I flew first class and rode in limos or sometimes private jet. Like I had all these things that I thought that I wanted, but the truth is I just wasn't very satisfied. I really wanted to be in a loving relationship. I wanted to, you know, raise my kids. I wanted, I mean, I'm pretty, the truth is the things I love are pretty simple, you know?
You know, what's funny about that is it's a great analogy on the things that define success when we're young aren't usually what end up making us happy the older we get. So,
Wow. That's good insight. Definitely good insight. Cause it's changed a couple things for me and my wife. You know, we've stepped away from kind of working with each other. Cause I've asked her in new businesses that I got going on. I'm like, hey, can you do this? Can you do this? She's like, Oh no. Like we just know, but she'll try to help out and she'll do some things and make sure that things are taken care of. You know, like if I go to Chicago, you know, she'll be back here. Like, hey, you got an email about this. I'm going to send him this. He wants this package. He needs this or whatever. So she does do that type of things. But, we're more situationally aware and we're more mindful of both of our triggers. So as you got back together, would you say that it's a continued learning process? Like you just didn't, you know, in the next week or next month, like, oh, we're good now. Oh, we totally love each other. Like we're good now. Or did you have to work at it and keep on going and really dig in?
That's a really, really good question. It's like you do this for a living.
Almost.
So I absolutely is the answer. And we did, there was a huge weight lifted off when we got back together. And that was probably 75% or maybe 60% of it. But the other thing was that we realized, wow, in 1 year, we learned so much about ourselves and we lifted all this weight. What else can we learn? And so over the last 10 years, we've spent a lot of time kind of studying what other couples do that work and
being, as you said, like when things do go wrong, like when we argue or fight or something goes awry. Right.
Don't tell them that.
Honey, we're so not perfect. We are so imperfect, just like everybody. So when we fight, though, what's different about what happens now is we fight and sometimes it might take us time to cool off, although I think it's a lot less than it used to be. We take time to figure out what happened, you know? Like, you know, was that are we really arguing about this or is something else going on? And you'd be surprised how many times we're arguing about something that has nothing to do with why we're arguing. So, yep. I mean, for example, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of a good
Well, it's, I mean, I'll just keep talking to that while you're thinking, but it's a mindful thing, really. I mean, halfway through, and we don't really argue that, maybe once every few months where we get into it a little bit, but I mean, we'll get into some bickering sometimes, which all couples do, weekly, if not more often, but I can diffuse that so much faster now because I'm like, does it matter if I'm right or she's right? I just don't care. Okay, you're right, honey. And then it's over.
Yep.
So that's what goes on in my head. It's that internal kind of mindful dialogue where I'm looking at what's happening right now, or I'll even say to her, babe, you seem edgy and annoyed at me. I'm pretty sure it isn't anything that I've specifically done. Is there something else that I can help you with? And you have to be real careful on that one because it's a fine line of sounding condescending, but most of the time she receives it really well and is like, yeah, you know what? I don't know why I'm so edgy and annoyed, and you're right. It's not your fault. So
that was the example I was going to say. Like sometimes if I'm stressed out about something, sometimes I'll snap at Patty about something that isn't really matter. Cause we spend a lot of time fighting over who's right. And in the end, it just doesn't matter most of the time.
Right. Yeah. You know, I can't say never, but I right now, or in the past, we've been married for 11 years, would never ever try to give anybody marriage advice. Cause we don't get into it like we used to, like screaming and shouting, like you suck, you know, and putting each other down. But like a couple of days ago, you know, I would say something to the kids and don't be like that. I'm like, what are you talking about? We gotta be together. You can't do that in front of the kids. Like I'm getting all like kind of like upset. Like, why are you trying to undermine me or whatever? And the kids are like staring at me like, yeah, dad, like mom's dad. And I'm like, see what you did? See? And you know? And so we're still trying to figure out. Yeah. Oh yeah. Especially with a 15 and then an 11 year old and a 4 year old, we're trying to figure out, you know, kind of like the talk, you know, like the talks that you need to have like behind closed doors, like not in front of the kids. Like when is it appropriate to do that? And when is it just like, we need to hash this out like right now. So there's just some things that I just get super irritated over. And I never like scream and yell and do all the crazy, stupid stuff we did like 10 years ago. But you can definitely tell when both of us getting irritated, it's like, all right, I'm just going to walk away now because nothing nice is going to happen here in the next like 30 minutes. So separate.
Yeah,
you gotta
that's
be,
a good strategy.
That is a good strategy. And you got to be careful with kids that age too, because they're so – your kids are probably perfect, but our kids – could be a little manipulative sometimes and kind of try
maybe
to
like
guide.
Mom said and, or dad said, so we found we support you, Sean, like talk like you can't when one of you guys says something, you kind of the best strategy is to toe the line, just like yep, I agree with your dad,
your strategy,
and then later we can be like, that was so, I totally did not agree with what you said or how you said it, you know, then have it out later, but in front of the kids, because they definitely would try to.
Oh yeah, they do.
Each other.
Oh, they do.
Something that works. If they lob something out there and it works, and they're going to come at it again later. So.
Oh yeah.
We focused on same page, and we were never perfect at it.
No,
in fact, if we go back and parent again, we would love to another shot at it. But
too late.
The same page is what you try to project to your kids. Mom and I are on the same page on this, and when you're not, you just say, hey, mom and I need some time to go get on the same page, and we're not going to discuss it anymore. That's it.
Yep. Yeah, my 11-year-old told us the other night, it was like over the weekend, last Saturday or Sunday or something, and she's like always going to mom. And she's been doing this for about 2 weeks. And I was like, hey, why are you always going to mom? Because she's getting really mad because our daughter's only going to Candy. And I was like, hey, why are you always going to mom? Like I'm right next to her. And she goes, well, if you're not around, mom's pretty tough. But once you're here, mom will usually say yes. Boom. Yes. I was she's like, you know what? I'm saying no from now on. I'm saying no. You know? So basically, like if I'm here, it's like she's relinquished motherhood to me, you know, and they're like, oh, I'm not asking dad because he's just gonna say no, You know, I was like, why? Well, you don't want to ask me because I'm going to say no? She's like,
yeah.
Well, yeah. I'm like, oh. So because mom has pretty much relinquished, like, oh, dad, you're out. I'm done parenting for now. You know what I mean? So she picked up on it. And my 15-year-old goes, that makes sense. And I was like, oh, you're way far behind, son. your 11-year-old's already figured it out. You know?
Yeah.
And he was like, that makes sense. So they do this, right? They start investigating. And that's what we found out last week, is that she always asks mom only when I'm around because she knows mom's going to say yes. It's like, ooh.
Wow. Mother.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, but you know what? That's great awareness, right? So now you get to take that and make different decisions.
Yeah. Right. So let's talk about the book. Like, what was that? I want to know, because we highlight the transformational moments, right? I want to know what you were doing. Where were you? Set the stage. What was that moment that said, we need to write this book? This book has to happen.
It was
kind of progressive. So we used to live in a bigger house when our kids were littler. And we had, and actually we built onto it so that my granny could live with us while, you know, in her last year of life. We had kind of this big master suite in our house so we had two master suites basically. And we had a number of, they were always guys, right? A number of guys struggling in marriages and stay with us. We would offer, hey, do you want to come stay with us? And we would talk through with these people.
No, they mostly asked if they could come.
Yeah, asked if they would come. Well, that's true. Yeah. Like, I need a place to stay. I'm getting kicked out kind of thing. Or I need to get away. And we would be giving marriage advice. And then, you know, usually their wives or girlfriends would know they were staying with us and they'd call. And then we'd be giving advice on both sides. And we realized that was something, I mean, we realized that was an interesting thing that happened to us. You know, when you live your life, you don't think, oh, wow, that was miraculous. But looking back and thinking that we were apart for a year and got back together is fairly miraculous. And most of the couples that we talked to ended up getting back together also.
Well, that's the question we had to answer all the time, is how did you guys do it?
Yeah, how did you do it?
Most of our friends know our story. So, and then bringing all that home to the book, it was about a year and a half ago, or maybe 2 years ago. Yeah. We were talking, and then we have a lot of friends, and we're in different, I mean, masterminds and communities where a lot of people write books. And the people that write the book always advise everybody else should write a book. You should always write a book. You know, we keep hearing about that. Yep. So Sam's like, somebody told us, or we were in a room, and you should write a book, or you need to write a book. And I'm like, what would we write a book about? And Sam mentioned, well, we have our story. Our story is actually pretty compelling. And we give this free advice out all the time. Maybe now we can make people pay $7 for a book. And,
and then we'll help them. Then we'll help them after they read the book.
And then the entrepreneur in me is like, yes, that's a great idea. We could become multi-gajillionaires from the success that we're going to have with this incredible book about relationships. And we're still waiting on that part, but that's kind of how it came to fruition.
Me too.
Always working on passive income.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
This one would be nice if we just broke even, but.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. So how did you figure out what was going to be in the book?
Oh, this was a fun process. So we created an outline of probably like 15 to 20 things that we thought were reasons why our marriage was great, because we are really happy together. And we made this list, and then we sat down and tried to write together about these topics. And that was a disaster. We started thinking about writing a new book called How Writing a Book Ended Our Marriage.
No, How Writing a Book About a Happy Marriage Almost Ended Our Marriage.
That's the sequel.
That's the sequel. No, but so what we ended up doing was taking each one of those topics and writing about it separately. And then we came together, and so we ended up having to publish the book as He Said, She Said, because even though we're talking about the same topic, our takes on it are so different. but not necessarily conflicting, just so different that we decided to just publish it all. The idea was that we'd write separately and then we'd try to merge it into something cohesive, but that isn't how it ended up coming out. And it's it's more playful and more like us anyway to have it written the way that it is.
Well, and it's when she talks about, we're not talking even about the same thing in some of the chapters. The chapter heading's there, and I'm like, oh, that's about this, this, and this. And she's like, no, it's not. It's about this, this, and this. I'm like, great. You do your part, I'll do mine.
Yep.
So I'm seeing a vision here. So you weren't going to title the book like he said, she said, right? I mean, that was I think that's pretty cool, like concept, though. Like, it's the same book, just written in two different variations. Like, he thinks this, or he says this, and she says this, and she thinks this. That's a pretty cool concept.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is, especially if you're not retelling the same topic, just from a different perspective. And it's
right.
The other thing that we really like about it is it doesn't have anything to do with gender, really. Like, you know, the male perspective is this. Well, the female perspective, it's not men are from Mars or whatever.
Right.
It's more about that I'm a he and I see things differently when we're talking about this topic. And
sure.
Yeah, that's it.
I think the other thing that is that, you know, sometimes the relationship books are intimidating because you're like, oh, great. We're never going to be like this. These perfect people, we're not like that. We can't achieve that. And you write our book, how human we are, how we bicker, and how we have different perspectives, and how it's a constant negotiation to reach the same page. So you get to see that as you're reading it. So it's not like, oh, they're so great, we can't achieve it. It's like, oh no, they have their shit for sure. Like, we're seeing it in action as they're writing this book, but we're still like very happy and satisfied with our relationship. So I like that about it too.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Highlights are
imperfect. And it's awesome how Sam can say a lot of like really intelligent things and still be wrong while I'm still right. And then we just carry on.
Yeah, that happens too sometimes.
No, I'm just kidding.
No. I like it. So
not about who's
I got to ask, what are you up to these days? What are you guys doing now with the book and the marriage mentoring? I don't think it's counseling. It's called mentoring. So what are you guys doing now? You know, and what do you enjoy most about it?
So we just started a podcast that we are really loving. It's called Doggy Style, which
not a pet.
it's not a veterinarian episode. And it's not like it's not all like you might think if your mind went to the gutter. Although, you know, we like to say that it's about a lot of the couples that we interview have someone who's kind of in the limelight, like you, Sean, and someone who's more behind the scenes, like Candy, which I'm dying to have you guys on the show. I love Candy. She's a fireball. I hung out with her much in Finland when we were there last year, and I just fell in love with her. I think she's adorable. In this case, it would be the woman behind the man, right? That's how the doggy style works in your relationship. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's the man behind the woman. Like we interviewed Honoré Corder and her husband, Bryce. I don't know if you know who she is. She's a pretty badass.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So that would be the man behind the woman. We also have, we're lining up some that are man behind the man or the woman behind the woman because, you know, however relationships work is how they work. You know, who you love is who you love. So we're pretty excited. Plus the other thing is dogs are amazing, unconditional lovers. And for us, that's the ultimate. And so.
But we do have a dog for our mascot.
We do.
On our
logo. Oh yeah, definitely. And where can people listen to the podcast?
They can listen to it on iTunes or I think just pretty much, or they can listen to it on our website too, Bigger Love. There's a little section for the podcast. But I think anywhere that you listen to podcasts, you can pull it up.
Yeah.
When you told me the name, I was like, oh my gosh. Like, cause I know what you guys do. So somebody coming in going, oh, Dog Style, that's great. It's be a a show about dogs, you know. And then you get to looking at the titles and you get to looking at the episodes. You're like, oh, wait a minute.
Uh-oh. What kind of doggy style is this?
Right. That's funny. Yeah. So Doggy Style. Great podcast, by the way. Great podcast.
Thank you. Yeah.
What was the motivation to doing that show? Was it just to bring light to like the relationship stuff that goes on in people's lives? What was the why for that?
So it's several layers deep, but ultimately we have this kind of giant big picture. How can we change the world vision, you know, we call it the Bigger Love Movement. And we really do believe that love is the meaning of life. And we want to expand on that in a massive way. We want to do a documentary and another book.
At least one more book.
Yeah. And it might be more, I don't know, but about the meaning of life. And we want to interview as many iconic personalities as we possibly can, or anybody for that matter, that has just a really cool take on what love means to them and what, you know,
how they embody it.
Exactly. And then where in the world we have this giant vision of what we want to do. But we also don't have the type of credibility yet that we need to pull it off. So we're trying to increase and put ourselves out there more and more and start building that. And the podcast was an idea that we had, and we've got a studio in our house because Sam is a recording artist. So we're like, we've already got most of the stuff there. Let's give it a shot. And we ended up really liking it. So.
Well, and I was just going to say, every time we talk to couples, because even when we were writing our book, we interviewed a number of couples that we know that are amazing. And, you know, we learned something new for our own relationship every time we talk to another couple. And so, and it's also just great reminders, you know, you forget, you know, even though you think, like Patty and I had a big argument, I don't know when it was, and I remember crying and being like, our book is so dumb, it doesn't even tell you what to do when this happens. And then I got the book out and then it was there and I was like, well, actually it does tell me what to do, I just forgot. And so I also love that. You know, a book, you read it, you put it down, but a podcast is like a constant reminder of all the things that you should be doing, you know, like your book. I loved your book, but your podcast is like continues on that vision, you know?
Yes. Yeah. That was, so when I wrote the book, it was like a stepping stone to what I was already doing, kind of like for authority and credibility. And hey guys, I really do know what I'm talking about. And then an extension of that is the podcast, right? Because I talk about transformation in the book, right? I talk about, you know, life's unexpected, you know, the shambles, the tribulations that you go through. And it just continues. It's just an extension of the book to carry that forward. And I thought, I was like, well, maybe I, you know, just named the show, you know, The Power of Overcoming, you know, Self-Defeating Behaviors. But I was like, no, like, what really is the message I want to carry through into the book? And it was that life transformation happens. I was like, that's the name of the show. Life transformation.
Great. Yep. It's great.
So yeah. So, and you definitely answered my question. I'll say, who do you have on the show? Which was totally what I was going to ask you, but you went ahead anyway. So that was super awesome of you. who are some of the influencers in your guys' lives?
Man, I'm a huge fan of Oprah and Brené Brown. I love the Gottman Institute. I think they do amazing research and put out amazing stuff. We love Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages.
Oh, that's an amazing book.
Yeah, that changed our relationship for the better. We talk about it a lot in our book, too, because, it's a changer for us. We're like, oh my god, we're trying to love each other the wrong way. No wonder we're always like, you know, missing the mark.
That was like 14 years in too. I mean, it was 4 or 5 years after we got back together that we first read that book.
Yeah. Wow, this is great. There's another book we love called Crucial Conversations. It has like, they did so many years of research. It has a whole lot of authors, but it's an amazing communications book, and that was huge influence on us. I in my mastermind Symmetry 7, I get to hang out with just amazing women, and I would say they all are influencers of my life.
Yeah, I've got a men's mastermind I'm in also called Go Abundance, and there's a lot of guys in there that will humble you with, you know, with where they are in their lives, in different aspects too. It's not just about money and business, but it's about, you know, spirituality and health and fitness and all those type things. So,
and relationships.
Yeah. And relationships.
Perfect. Awesome. So what does the rest of 2018 look like for you? Where are you headed? New adventures, businesses, family? Talk about what the rest of the year holds.
Well, we've just been talking about this, and it's in its fledgling stages, but we think we're going to bring it to fruition here in the next 30 days. Sam just came off of a challenge where she had to do one video every day for 30 days.
You did that too, didn't you, Sean?
Yeah.
I did. And, I did the Facebook Live in my own, like, I didn't do it like in like a specific group, but I did it on my entire Facebook profile.
Yeah, that's how I did mine too. But I didn't do the live because I tend to ramble, so I just like to record it and then edit.
Yeah. Oh, I gotcha.
Anyway, what our idea is to put out what, because we learn all the time. I mean, today I spent a half an hour talking with somebody else about unconditional love and what that means, and then we got to talking about divorce rates among different religious sects and if there was a difference or not, and we went like mad to try to figure out if it's the same, different, or more. And
we just learn new things about relationships all the time.
Yeah, so we want to start doing a video, you know, like a 1 to 2 minute. This is what we've learned, and we're going to call that video series just the.
Oh my!
So we're
gonna
get
I got surprised though.
The next couple weeks. It should be really fun.
Oh my god! You know what? So we all know Christopher Lockhead, right?
Yep.
So right now, I'm literally thinking category design. We're like, and here's, and literally Patrick is over going with a serious, serious face into the camera. All right. Just the tip. Here it is today. You know, and he's like just creating a new, kind of like Gary Vee does his daily V, right? His daily vlog or whatever. Like just the tip. Holy crap.
Yep.
You guys are hilarious. You guys rock. What else is going on? Scared to ask.
Well, we travel a lot.
Yeah.
I'm super excited because, Pat's going on a trip with his mastermind to Japan.
Oh, boy.
Over my birthday. This is the second time he's left over my birthday for one of those trips.
The third.
Ouch.
Oh, it's the third.
You just got to go on one of them.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But so I do these things called, I call them my walkabouts, where I camp by myself. And this time I signed up for a Grand Canyon whitewater rafting tour. So I won't be by myself. There will be other people on the tour, but I'll be there by myself, meaning I don't know anybody on the trip. So I'm super excited about that. So we're doing, he's going to Japan. I'm going to be whitewater rafting in the Grand Canyon. We are running a couples retreat. That's something else that we've been doing is couples retreats. So we're running a few this year. Two are pretty close to being, one of them's pretty full, right? The Panama trip.
Not quite.
So we have three trips that we're thinking of. One will be in July, to Las Vegas. We have a spiritual, he doesn't like us to call him that. There's a guy named T-Lock who we've been working with, who's amazing. And so we'll be doing a retreat down in Vegas where we teach some of our stuff and we have some fun. And it's always, we always put a little bit of a, because they say that couples that try new things together also seem to be happier. That's one of the statistics.
Oh, cool.
So we try to do weird stuff
that maybe they haven't tried before. And then we have, yeah, a Panama trip in November.
Adventure stuff.
Adventure stuff, yeah.
Yeah, not weird stuff.
Yeah, don't, yeah. It's so funny. We have all these sexual innuendos in our marketing, but we're really pretty, plain vanilla, actually, in our own sex life.
We're not vanilla.
Well, whatever.
Shoot, girl.
Vanilla with caramel sauce or something. Like, we're not in an orgy. Weird.
Don't start talking about
that. And I shouldn't say weird. I mean, I have no judgment. Whatever you're into, it's great.
Yeah.
You guys are hilarious.
What else?
So this is the moment of the show where we do a shameless plug. You can plug friends, quotes, your websites, Facebook, your favorite movie, products, give a shout out, whatever you want. This is your moment to shamelessly plug. Go.
Okay, well, I'm going to shamelessly plug ourselves because we desperately need followers on Twitter. Bigger Love Book, Bigger Love Book on Twitter. Please go follow us. Stop in, say hi. We could use some reviews on our book, which is on Amazon. Book's titled Bigger Love, and there's an audiobook on there, which we recorded ourselves. So if you're mesmerized by our voices and you want to hear more, that's the way to do it. And then reviews for our podcast would be great. Any way that you can help us kind of, and this is hard for us because we don't really care about it in real life. And that's our social profile, if you will, or.
We care about helping people and having them love better.
Right. And apparently in order for people to like.
Know what we're trying to teach.
And then help us out. We're like, well, you don't have that many followers on Twitter. So when you get a few more, maybe we'll do this. And it's like, I don't even know how to do that. So we'll shamelessly plug your audience. Please help us get a larger media profile or whatever so that we can do a project, because I'm really excited to do that one. The Bigger Love Movement is going to be, it's going to be fun. It's going to be huge.
It'll be awesome.
Yeah. Well, I want to plug you, Sean. I think you're pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I love your book. I love your podcast. I'm all about everything that you're into and doing. And I love our little grade 8.
TED Talk.
Yeah, the TED Talk.
Yeah, the grade 8. The grade 8 speaker.
Grade 8.
We could plug John Vroman
for
putting that together.
Shout out to Vroman for sure.
Yeah, shout out to John Vroman.
He's
our mentor. Absolutely. So as we wrap up, can you deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action?
You go first.
What? Now it's your turn.
All right. Here's what I came to mind at this moment. And that is that if you're in a long-term relationship, be your partner's biggest fan. Love them harder, better than anybody else.
That's a good one.
Wow. That's powerful.
It works with us.
It does. It does. It's
be your partner's biggest fan. I like that a lot.
Yeah, be your biggest fan.
Exactly. Never be the person that ever talks crap about your partner ever, ever, ever. You don't do that.
Oh, really. Yeah.
I do it sometimes, but then I always feel bad.
And
we used to do that all the time. We used to tear each other down. Because, like, we misery loves company, right? So, like, I would say something mean to her, and she would do it right back to me just to, like, make me feel bad, you know? And it's just, like, just get into the stupid, like, mean, crazy cycle. You know what I mean? You get mean, and then you get crazy, and it's just, you're just stuck in it. In this carousel, you know?
Have some fun
and then
with
you
it.
Start
Try
talking bad. Right.
Try it with gratitude and compliments.
Oh, yeah.
So next time she fires off at you, you know what I love about you, honey? I love this. And then she fires off again. I see what you're trying to do. Just keep going.
Yeah.
It's more fun. I would say that one of my biggest things that I'm constantly, I feel like I have the most room to grow. You got to be careful about your self-talk, is it has to do with the self-love, and that you can't truly love at your fullest capacity unless you have filled yourself up from the inside with your own self-love. So until you're overflowing, and that's when you're really putting it out there for the world and being the best you that you could possibly be, is when you do that for yourself first.
Oh my God, that reminded me, we should give a shout out to Julie Riesler, who teaches that. That's like her main method.
Yep, that's true.
The USU in her book, Get a PhD in YOU.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Dude, that was great, man. You guys rock. Love what you guys are doing. And, you know, every time I'm around you guys, you know, it's like, it's fire. Yeah, man, it's fireworks. It's just enjoyable. You know, some couples I'm around, it's just like one's overpowering the other, or there's just not a good dynamic with, you know what I mean? But when we're around you guys, it's just, it's so fun and exciting, and you guys rock, man. You guys are amazing.
Hey, thanks, Sean. We think you and Candy are pretty amazing too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
no more tear down battles either.
Yeah. Any last words before we close the show?
No, just thank you so much for having us on.
Yeah.
It was an honor and a pleasure.
Make sure
for us as well.
So for the listeners, you have to go find Bigger Love, How to Have the Love of Your Life for the Rest of Your Life. Biggerlove.com. It's on Amazon. Go find the Doggy Style podcast and check out Coming Soon, Just the Tip. Patrick and Sam's way of giving you daily tip videos.
That'll probably be on our Facebook page, which is Bigger Love Book. Also.
There you go.
It'll probably be on. Also.
There you go.
We'll put it everywhere.
Yeah. The tip will be all over the place.
Yep. I was like, the tip will be everywhere. You put the tip all over everything.
Yep. Maybe one of your audience will be touched by the tip.
Oh, sorry, Sean.
Wait. Oh God. I can't breathe. Awesome. Your life must be exciting.
Never a dull moment.
Oh, never a dull moment. Awesome. Thank you guys for being on the show. You guys are amazing. And hopefully we will see you soon.
All right,
sounds
buddy.
Good. Thanks, Sean.
Yeah. So Life Transformation Radio listeners, if anything resonated in the show, send out some Facebook and some Twitter love to Sam and Patrick Cullename. They are not hard to find. Go to biggerlove.com. Get the book. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave a review for the book and for the show. As we close, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day in life to live out the core values that you have deep inside yourself. And I call that living your brand. So until next episode, have a great night.